All right, well, we're going to look this morning at a different subject, but it's not really that different because it's going to keep us where we've been for the last 3 weeks. Because, you know, the last 3 weeks we looked at Psalm 63. We saw David in the wilderness of Judah running from his son Absalom. And we went through that passage and we heard his cry for deliverance. He wanted to be back in that place to where he could worship God freely. He wasn't hindered in any way. And I want to continue looking at least at some of that, only in the sense that what would have happened if he'd been in the wilderness and he would have allowed a certain emotion to overtake him? Because it's so tempting when things aren't going your way, when things have been interrupted and hindered as such, as just certainly in the case of David, his own son, his own flesh and blood has turned against him and is turning the whole city against him. And ready to kill him. I mean, your heart's broken over the whole issues with your child to have that go on, let alone he's turned the entire kingdom against him. So there's a lot of heartache there. There's also a lot of room for anger. And that's where I want to go with it this morning. We all experience anger. We experience a right kind of anger as well as a wrong kind of anger. And today we're going to talk about the wrong kind of anger. Probably a sermon we don't need to do because we tend to know what the wrong kind of anger is, right? But it is something that I think that certainly we need to look at. And as we look at this morning, I want us to, again, look at what is forbidden, what is considered to be unjust anger. Well, we could start right there at the very beginning and say that unjust anger is forbidden. It is forbidden. Let me have you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And you'll notice there in chapter 7 where Solomon does have something to say about this when it comes to being hasty in your spirit to be angry. If you look there at verse 9, he tells us, do not be eager, or do not use haste in your heart or in your spirit to be angry. For he says that anger rests in the bosom of fools. That's some very poetic language. Basically, it's simply saying this, that when you give yourself to unforbidden anger, you're acting like a fool. Because this is what rests in fools. They don't hold their tongue. They don't restrain themselves. They don't restrain their actions. But I want you to see something here. If you look back at the previous verse, he said, the end of a matter is better than the beginning. Think about that for just a moment. End of a matter is better than the beginning. Maybe you have a rough start. At least when you get to the end of it, you see where you were going. Sometimes the end will be bitter because you wanted it to go on, but now you have completed the task. Other times, you can't wait to get to the end, right? I can't help but think of Mark Lowry, you know, the comedian guy, when he talks about his favorite phrase in the Bible is, and it came to pass. And many times I can relate to that because there's certain things in your life that you can't wait to get to the end. You want it to pass, right? You know, and you're not even thinking about the lessons that you learn going through that situation because the situation at times is so unbearable, the situation is difficult, and all you're ready to do is get past it. I understand that very clearly. But look what he says there. He says, patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. It's much better to have that internal sense of being able to suffer long, that long suffering, this internal. Notice two times he says of spirit in verse 8. Then when you get down to verse 9, he talks about in your heart. So this anger that he's mentioning there in verse 9 is internal. Maybe it hasn't manifested itself yet. But you know, it starts internally. And whether it's quick or not, I mean, if we're the type that just explodes at every single thing that happens that's negative or bad, then it still had to start internally. Maybe it was a build to it from other situations. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's just a build of your life. Or maybe it's, again, you're just one who reacts very quickly to things. And I keep going back to Psalm 73 because in there, that's the one thing that Asaph was trying not to do. was to respond so quickly to a situation that he's already airing out everything he had to think about this without even really truly thinking it through. But again, it's so easy for us just to do this. And we've all done it. I mean, none of us are without excuse here. But he says, verse 9, NAS says, "Do not be eager in your heart." New King James says, "Do not hasten in your spirit." So again, spirit or heart, it's talking about the internal. It's talking about the inward, the inner you, the attitude. Don't be quick in your heart to get angry. I mean, we count even fools wise that are able to restrain themselves, right? I mean, probably the best response in most situations is just not to say anything. But yet, somehow, we have to say something, warned or not. But notice he says that this unforbidden anger, it rests in the bosom of fools. This is what rests in their hearts. And so this is something that we need to avoid at all cost. He goes on, I believe, to explain some of this when you get into the following verses. You know, why is it that the former days were better than these? I mean, again, you're looking at the situation that's got you so upset. You're so bent out of shape about it. And you're looking at this now and you're saying, you know, the previous days before this happened were so much better. And it is so easy to live in the past. I remember one church that I pastored. I was, I forget what pastor, 37 or something I was at in the history of that church. That should have told me a lot right there. my history wouldn't be long. But, yeah, it wasn't, 8 months. But anyway, I look back on that, and I remember hearing this. They always talked about certain days when they had a lot of people, because they had a building that could seat almost 900 people, and it had 60. Well, there's a reason why it had 60. But living in the past, you know, we're in the present, and hopefully our hope is in the future. Things and times change, whether we want it to or not. And the people that aren't interested in change are forced to it, because things change. And they change sometimes more rapidly than we desire for them to change. So he asks in verse 10, why is it that the former days were better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask about this. Wisdom along with an inheritance is good and an advantage to those who see the sun. For wisdom is protection, just as money is protection. But the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the lives of its possessors. And see, he just continues to go into this whole idea of contrasting wisdom and folly. The folly is expressed when we are quick to get angry. We act just like a fool. Now, when we think about this unforbidden anger, we have to really understand that this is something that we can't avenge. We can't avenge our anger. And, of course, that takes you over to Romans. So let me have you to go to the New Testament now and go to Romans chapter 12. And we're familiar with this. This whole section here, chapter 12, begins with how we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And then I believe from that point on, he begins to challenge us or show us how to be holy. He goes through the gifts, showing how we're interconnected with each other. Then in verse 9, he talks about the kind of love that we're to have to each other, which, by the way, if you don't have this kind of love, then your gifts are being done in the flesh. But he talks about not having hypocritical love, but verse 10, being devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another. You know, that's become a byword, preferring others above yourselves. That's a byword. Sad to say, it's a byword in many churches, in many circles where Christians are together, because people still have this selfish mentality that I'm looking out for me. I'm looking out for myself. And this idea of serving one another, the whole one another concept is warped. It's almost non-existent. And yet we're told in Scripture that we are to love in such a way that we hate evil and we love good and we're devoted to each other with this brotherly love and we prefer others among ourselves, over ourselves. We do this in honor. And we don't lag in becoming behind and being diligent or lag in being fervent in spirit or lag in our serving the Lord. We don't even lag in rejoicing or persevering in tribulation or being devoted or contributing to the needs of the saints or practicing hospitality or blessing those who persecute us. No, we get down to verse 14 and we talk about blessing those who persecute us. Are you kidding me? This person or persons have upset my life. They have totally ruined my life in one way or another. And I tell you, many times I think of David when at one point there was a guy throwing rocks at him and just really saying all kind of awful things about him. And David's the king, and his commander asked if he could go over there and cut his head off. That's how dishonoring what he was doing and the seriousness of it warranted that kind of response. But David's response was, no, the Lord's letting him do this. Now, I don't know if that's always the response we should have, but it certainly helped him at the moment, right? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. The idea of bless is the word eulogeo, which we get eulogy from. You know what a eulogy is? You speak well of a person. You could translate it, speak well of those who persecute you. That's the last thing we want to do, is speak well of them. And then he says, speak well of them and don't call down curses on them. That's what the idea of cursing is. Don't call down some kind of curse on them. Well, that in and of itself is huge. But again, look at all these other things he's saying. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't be haughty in mind. Associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If it's possible, so as far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. And if you're not, you're going to seek after vengeance. He says, verse 19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine, God says. It's mine to execute. It's not yours. Your response is to be verse 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, unjust anger wants to be revenged. Unjust anger carries out revenge. Unjust anger can't do this. It's selfish. You can get something that you wanted. You were treated a certain way. It wasn't right. I'm not saying that it was right, that they treated you in a horrible way. But don't let them win by how you respond. Don't let them win by responding the same way that they treated you. It is human sinful nature to return back to someone else the evil that they gave you. It's like someone said in class this week, somebody hits me, I don't care if you're an adult or not. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to hit them back. I said, well, you don't have much of a future. You live like that, you won't have a future. You end up in jail. You end up in prison. Or you end up dead. Because there's always going to be someone bigger that can hit you harder and hurt you. Or forget the fist, they just pull out a gun now. You know, there's no fair fight. I was thinking about that the other day. You know, you want a fair fight, hand me a gun. And you'll use a gun, and we'll go dueling with the guns if that's what you want to do. Otherwise, put the guns down unless, you know, I'd rather not do anything. But, you know, you have self-preservation too, right? Something about this playing field that wasn't leveled. But again, the whole idea is sinful human nature wants the revenge. And that's unjust anger. That's the kind of anger that is prohibited. Now, let me show you in another place where all this comes from, and let me have you go to Galatians 5, and you know as well as I do that this unjust anger comes from the flesh. This is a work of the flesh. This is the flesh at work. Paul tells us in verse 14 that the whole law is fulfilled in one word, that is in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And then from verse 17 and following, down to verse 21, he talks about the flesh. Verse 17, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, you don't need any restraint. The law is set to restrain. And if you're led by the Spirit, then certainly verse 22 and 23 is what will be produced in your life, not verses 19 through 21. And he says in verse 19, the deeds of the flesh. Now he's contrasting. You got a verse 19, he's contrasting the deeds of the flesh with verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. He has that injunction there, but after he's been talking about the evidences of the flesh. This is what the flesh does, but on the other hand, this is what the Spirit does. And by the way, it's one fruit, not fruits of the Spirit. But look at the deeds. The deeds of the flesh, by the way, these are also categories. This is not everything that could be listed. That's why he has in verse 21, things like these. So that tells us it's not a conclusive list. It has certainly given us categories. So he says, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, adultery, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Many of the sins that are manifested in the area of human relationships have to do with some form of anger. You have hatred, results in strife. Jealousy results in an outburst of anger. And the idea of even jealousy, hateful resentment. All of this manifests itself in some form of anger. And look at that. Verse 20, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Let me have you go to Ephesians, because Paul does say something about anger in Ephesians in chapter 4. He has been talking about the new walk, and he affirms to these Gentiles that they are no longer to walk as they're not to walk like former Gentiles walked. The futility of their mind, verse 18, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God. They were callous, verse 19. They gave themselves over to sensuality. But he says you didn't learn Christ in this way, if you have heard him and been taught in him. No, he says, as far as your former manner of life, you lay this aside. Because that former manner of life is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. You're to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You're to put on the new self, which, verse 24, in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You're to put aside lying and speak truth. And verse 26, you're to put aside unrighteous anger. And you're to have righteous anger. He says, verse 26, this is also a tag off of Psalm 4:4. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil an opportunity. See, even the righteous kind of anger can turn into unrighteous anger. I mean, think about that for just a moment. There's a righteous anger? Yeah. Are you angry because of God's glory and God's honor has been violated? Or are you angry because you have been violated? You have been mistreated. And you feel like that they owe you something back. That's why Romans 12 says, don't pay back with revenge. Don't pay back with evil. Because that's the whole idea. You think that they have given you something bad, and they have. And you feel like that they owe you for that. So you want to pay them back with the same kind of response. be angry and yet do not sin. That's the only kind of anger that's acceptable, is anger that doesn't lead to sin. But if you let the sun go down on your anger, that is, if you don't resolve it, then it's going to turn into an opportunity for the devil. Now it's become unjust, unrighteous anger. That's the idea. And this is not part of the new man. This is not part of the new self, verse 24. Again, you're putting off things. You're putting off lying in verse 25. You're putting off unrighteous anger in verse 26. You're putting off stealing in verse 28. You're putting off corrupt words in verse 29. Because all these things, verse 30, grieve the Holy Spirit. So you're putting all this away. And the flip side of this is that you're going to put on, verse 32, kindness and tenderheartedness and forgiveness. And you're going to imitate God by walking in love. You're going to imitate God by loving the way He loves, which is a sacrificial type of love. But as far as sin, you're not going to let that be named among you as a follower of Christ. Now, unjust anger, and we mentioned this a moment ago, when we manifest this, we're acting just like a fool. Because this is characteristic of fools. This is their character. Proverbs 12:16 tells us, really the answer to this question, when is a fool's anger made known? Immediately. Immediately. There's no restraint. This is what it says, Proverbs 12:16. A fool's wrath is known at once. You know it immediately. That's why I say, we can act like that. But when we just explode like that, we just let it out, we don't restrain it, we're acting just like a fool. We're no different than a fool. We've taken on their characteristic. The flip side is a prudent man, a wise man, covers shame. When you act impulsively, you're acting like a fool. Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. You know, it's one thing to be silent and everyone still think that you're a fool, but don't confirm it by opening up your mouth and doing or saying something that would give them evidence that you are a fool. Right? Again, remember Ecclesiastes 7:9. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Now, immediately I'm drawn to a question. What are some of the causes for unjust anger? What causes me to act like this? Go back to Psalm 63. I mean, you don't have to turn there, but go back to the whole idea of David there in the wilderness. He's running from Absalom. What would cause him to manifest unjust anger? Well, let's just think about this for a moment. What would cause this manifestation? I'm running from my son. That's a good enough cause. He said some pretty bad things about me that were not true. Ecclesiastes 7 talks about a good name. And you know how important that is. Good name is better than good ointment. Somebody trashes your name. Somebody trashes your reputation. Sometimes you can't regain that. Can't regain it. Somebody says a lot of bad things about you. A lot of people believe that. What are you going to do about that? Well, all I can say is that time will prove otherwise. But you say, I don't have that kind of time. It could take years to overcome something that someone says about you that trashes your reputation, trashes you to such a point to where maybe it affects your ability to work in a certain city. People do this. They lie. You might not be a person given over to lies. You might not be a person who operates your life by lying, but you seek to have integrity. But that doesn't mean everybody else acts like you. Is that grounds for getting angry? Well, I would certainly say that it's going to make you mad. That's an understatement. But how you handle that can reveal whether you're having the right kind of anger or not, whether it is just or unjust, whether it is righteous or unrighteous. Has it hindered the gospel? Has it hurt your family? Has it hurt your ability to provide? I mean, it may, in many cases, cause you to relocate into an area that doesn't know you. Now, that doesn't help you if you're someone that everybody knows. You think of people that are on television that we know, and something happens and their reputation is trash. You know, you're tried in the court of public opinion. You know, this whole situation that happened with Zimmerman and Martin, all that went on, there was so much public opinion about that. How can there be a fair trial? Everybody knows about it. And so, I mean, you have the President of the United States weighing in on a case. That's out of precedence. That's not right. Whether there's guilt or not, how can you get to the truth when you have all that going on? But the court of public opinion. See, David had to deal with the court of public opinion. Because now the polls were low. Thanks to his son. Well, and not just his son. Thanks to David's actions. Because David did mess up. With that whole situation with Bathsheba. He messed up. Big time. And he was going to have to pay for it. And he did. He paid for it for the rest of his life. Sometimes certain things that we do, certain decisions and choices that we make, cause the consequences to be very devastating on our lives, and we'll pay for those consequences maybe the rest of our life. Maybe not. But what are some of the causes? Well, let's take pride. Pride seems to always be up there. We don't always talk about it because it's something we want to hide. But pride can be certainly a cause of unjust anger. Proverbs 21:24, a proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. That's his name, scoffer. You think that there's no anger behind all of that? You think there's no anger behind this pride, this haughtiness, this arrogance? Oh, you've been around people that are arrogant, and that's what you say when you walk away. Wow, they're so arrogant. I don't want to be around them. Start teaching in school where you can't get away from them. You learn how to deal with it. Another one would be cruelty. You notice that people that are always angry are very cruel. They're cruel. They're cruel to everyone but themselves. Because in their pride, they've elevated themselves above everyone else. They are the most important, not someone else, not their neighbor. Everyone bows to me, they say. You do what I say. Over in Genesis 49, when Jacob was blessing his sons before he died, he said of Simeon and Levi that their swords were weapons of violence. They have killed men in their anger. So he says in verse 7, cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. That's a father who was not willing to condone their actions. You take Eli, whose sons were Hophni and Phinehas. He didn't confront things that they were doing. I mean, he at one point said, what you're doing is not right, but he didn't do anything to restrain them. They've turned the temple of God into orgies, drunkenness. You know, God wanted to kill them, and he did. He did kill them. Killed Eli, too. Eli was so fat as he heard about the Ark of God being captured and his sons dying, he fell over backwards and it broke his neck because of how heavy that he was. And I'm not going to sit here and say that his heaviness was I mean, you have situations where maybe it's not always your fault, but it would kind of lend to his the way he fathered his kids. Kind of like a carelessness. Not really caring. I mean, if your children are turning the temple of God into disgrace, and you just sit by and watch it go on and do nothing about it. So pride, cruelty. A third one would be clamor. Clamor and evil speaking. We just read Ephesians 4:31. It says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Well, we all know what bitterness is. Wrath is this outburst of anger, explosive anger. Of course, anger in general. Then you have clamor. What is clamor? Clamor is noise. Clamor is noise that's marked by confusion. In fact, we could say it this way. It's a shouting kind of anger. Where you have this thumos, you have this explosion taking place, and you're just letting it rip. You're letting it go. That's clamor. And maybe it turns into evil speaking. Maybe even turns into foul language. But we got to let all that be put aside too, with all hatred, malice. And these could be things that cause the anger. You're bitter, it's going to lend to anger. It's going to express itself in that manner. You're cruel. Cruel to others. You have hate in your heart. Always mad. Always have a chip on your shoulder. Or maybe it's pride. I'll give you one more. Malice and blasphemy. Colossians 3:8. "But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." And again, it's all connected. All connected. So these are just a few of the causes. And I'm going to spend some time next week on some more of them. But let me just ask you a few questions before we wrap this up. Is this how you respond when you're in the wilderness? When you're going through the tough times, the difficulties, the trials? They're very stressing. They're very exasperating. Certainly we have to guard ourselves from unjust, unrighteous anger. Would it have been unjust or righteous for David to get angry? Well, there's kind of a loaded question. That's kind of a hard question really to answer if you think about it, because it's almost like you really need to know all the circumstances, all the situations that are associated with all of this to determine if his anger would have been right or wrong. You know, if his son turned against him, his son dishonored the Lord, his son had divided Israel, that sounds like a righteous type of anger to exhibit. But if he's just worried about, "I've been driven away from my home, you've dishonored me," I think that's kind of borderline. So if pride or cruelty or evil speaking or malice or blasphemy a part of it, then certainly it would have been unjust. But if his anger was that God was dishonored, God was not pleased by how his son had responded, then yeah, that would have been grounds for, I think, a righteous anger. I think that we need to ask ourselves a few things when we're angry. A simple why. Why are you mad? Why are you mad? And you don't have to necessarily air that to everybody as to why. Because usually when we get mad, we may express why. We may tell why. Is it because you didn't get your way? Or is it because God was dishonored? Maybe you're mad at yourself. Because you've just been struggling with being holy. See, the problem with anger is hard to control, but it must be controlled, and it can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. He can help us control it. We have to surrender to Him at all times. Let me just close with you going to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Just a reminder of this verse, verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Here's how the Greek renders it. But be being kept filled with the Spirit. Be being kept filled with the Spirit or by the Spirit. The only way that you can be being kept filled by the Spirit or with the Spirit is for you to continue to die to self. It's constant. You have to continually get out of the way and let Him lead. Don't participate in those things that hinder His leadership. Again, I'm not saying that any of this stuff is easy to do. In fact, it's impossible to do. But it's only possible by God's Spirit. And we have to set our course and our determination. It's like Psalm 119. David used a bunch of I wills in there. I will do this. I will do this. I set myself in that direction. I set my heart up to do this. This is my plan. This is my course of action. I'm going to fight my flesh with all of my might. I'm going to fight sin. I'm going to fight the devil with all my might. I'm going to, chapter 6, as we mentioned last week, I'm going to be strong in the strength and the power of the Lord, not in my own self. I'm powerless. So what kind of anger are you manifesting when you get angry? Hopefully it's very little of this and a lot of righteous indignation when it occurs. But the only way you're going to find out is you have to ask yourself those questions. Why am I angry? Is God being dishonored right now? Or am I mad because of my own feelings, my own hurt, something that's a personal injury here? You hurt my emotions, you hurt me, and that's why I'm mad. And now I have to pay you back for it. That's the way the world thinks, and that's the way the world reacts. Let's be different. Let's not be like the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't want to be like the world. We don't want to respond the way that they respond. We don't want to do the things that they do. We want to respond in a way that is honorable, Lord, to You, and we can't do that unless we're yielded to the Spirit of God. So I pray that You would help us to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, to get out of the way, to be being kept filled with the Spirit. Lord, as we come now to the table, I pray that You would cause us to reflect back on what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross as we partake of the Lord's table together. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.